You're listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. It is our desire that you will be helped by this Bible message.
Matthew chapter 6, just for a few moments, I do pray and do hope that the message will be a blessing to your heart and your life. And as the teens are growing out, I was just thinking back a few minutes ago to my teenage years and all the people who invested in my life as a teenager. And it's so easy as you grow older to forget the many memories that were made, all the fun stories you have about people, but also the ways that God worked in your heart as a teenager. I am just curious this evening, how many of you were in a teen group growing up as a teenager in a church somewhere? You were in some type of teen group. That is awesome. What a blessing it is. And you would agree with me, it's important that we have teaching and preaching for every age and stage of life. Different ages and different stages of life have different temptations, different troubles, different worries. Every stage of life has a variety of worries. Isn't it amazing when you consider a kid how something can so quickly consume their mind, and that's their biggest worry? I mean, you're going to McDonald's, and first they were worried about in the morning, am I going to even get a Happy Meal today? And then they find out they're on their way to McDonald's, and their concern is, will I get the right toy in the Happy Meal? I remember when I was a kid, and my parents told me, okay, we're going to the beach, you know, and going to the coast, and we were excited about that. And I remember as the time continued, I began to worry, is it going to rain or not? Will we actually be able to go out onto the beach? And at some point, my parents said, well, you can worry all you want about it, but that's not going to change anything. Isn't it true that every age and stage of life has a variety of troubles and a variety of worries? We look at what consumes a kid's mind at this point, and we think, oh, that's cute, that's not that big of a deal, but that's their whole world to them. And then the teenage years come around, and I'm not that far removed from those years, and I can remember the many worries that you have. The worries as you go to school, the worries as you're in school, the worries of performing on a certain level, relationships you're trying to develop, and then the college years come, and you're worried about the future, and am I going to graduate, and I'm going to have enough money to pay the bills to get through college? And then you get to adulthood, and then the real worries begin, right? Everybody's been warning you, just wait till you become an adult, right? It'll get worse. And then sure enough, right? More worries come. It's something we all have to deal with. Something truly that we all have to struggle with in life. Why? Because we live in a sinful world. It's not the Garden of Eden anymore, and it's not going to be like that for a lot longer. But this evening, you would agree with me that God wants us to handle worry well. Although worry is going to come, the fact that we know God gives us the power to handle it differently than the world would handle it. Could I ask you this evening, what are you worried about? What have you been worrying about? It's not unlikely that you've had some worries today. It's not unlikely that you've had some worries this week, this year, that continue to weigh on your heart, weigh on your mind. In Matthew chapter 6, here in verse number 25, Jesus says here, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. In other words, Jesus is saying, don't worry about it. Don't even think about it. Don't worry. And the book of Philippians chapter number 4, maybe you know this verse. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. Don't think about it. It's not that big of a deal. But would you agree it's a lot easier said than done? You can tell somebody to stop doing something all day long, but it doesn't just happen that easy, right? If I were to tell you to stop worrying, some of you would just start worrying about how you're concerned you aren't going to be able to stop worrying. It's like when you're a kid, you know, you're trying to go to sleep and your parents tell you, okay, hey, like, just go to sleep. And you're sitting there, okay, well, I can't go to sleep. That's the problem to begin with, right? Count the sheep. That never worked for me. But you understand what I'm saying. We have different things we worry about, and it's not as easy as just saying, stop worrying about it. And here's what I know about the Word of God. There is not a problem that mankind has that God has not given us the ability to encounter and overcome by His grace. And this evening, for a few moments, we're going to look at this topic of worry, something, if I could just be transparent with you, something that I have deeply needed to learn about more as I've been studying this message. Sometimes as you're studying for a message, the Lord convicts you deeply on these matters. And this is something I'm so thankful that God has enabled me to study in and to preach on now. And I do pray that it'll be a help in your life as much as it's been a help in my life already. What do we need to know about worry? Number one, we need to understand where our worry comes from. Would you agree? Every human emotion has a root somewhere. Every human experience has a root somewhere. First off, worry comes from what we care most about. Worry can reveal what we care most about, where our greatest priorities are. In this day and age, in the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, notice the Bible says, in verse number 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body than the raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Verse 25, Jesus said, take no thought for what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. You can look right here. What's he saying? Don't worry about tomorrow's food. Don't worry about tomorrow's drink. Don't worry about tomorrow's clothing. Most of us in this room today don't have that issue. We live in a world of great much. We live in a world of overabundance, where we have a lot. But in Jesus' day, you know who he was talking to? People that weren't sure where their next meal was going to come from. People who weren't sure how they were going to clothe their kids next week. And Jesus was saying, hey, take thought. Don't worry about it. Don't focus on it. But here's what happens. When we worry, it reveals what we focus on, what our greatest priority is. Oftentimes, what we worry about is what we are most committed to. I mentioned earlier, as a kid, you're worried about certain things. As a teenager, you're worried about certain things. As you come into your adult years, you're worried about certain things. And I'm not saying it's always, our worries are always rooted in sinful things, but you would agree, sometimes we need to take a step back, and we need to consider, why am I worrying right now? What's at the root of my worry? Sometimes that the root of our worry is simply a concern for the opinions and the thoughts of others. If my kid doesn't make this grade, if they don't pass this class, well, what's everybody going to think about me as a parent? If I am not able to achieve this, and I'm not able to do that, what are people going to think about me? How are they going to be concerned of me? Sometimes our worries can be rooted in a focus on, not on God, but on self. And so as we consider the Word of God this evening, let's first off consider, okay, what is it rooted in? What is it showing about our heart? What is our greatest priority? The disciples in Mark chapter 10, verse number 37, James and John, the son of Zebedee, came unto Jesus. They had a question. They had a concern. They had something that was on their mind, but it was something that really should not have been concerning their mind. Notice what the Bible says. Master, speaking to Jesus, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever ye shall desire. And he said unto them, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in glory. Is it possible for something that we're worried about to be rooted in a wrong heart? It is. Should they have been worrying about who was going to be sitting on the right hand or left hand of Christ? No. It was a focus on self. In Matthew 18, verse number 1, the same thing happens. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying this, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus is going to the cross here in a little while, and then the disciples are talking about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But isn't it true as you look throughout your life that oftentimes it's true, what we're worrying about can be rooted in a heart full of selfishness. It can be worried, and it can be rooted in a heart full of pride. It can be rooted in a heart that is only concerned about how we're going to go for it. It's not always the case, but we need to look at the root of worry. Not only is it rooted in what we care most about, what we desire most, but we are also oftentimes worried because we do not know everything. As individuals, we're not omniscient, are we? I can't tell you what's happening tomorrow. I can't tell you what's happening next week. I cannot tell you what's happening next year. There's nothing new under the sun. The book of Ecclesiastes says in 8:7, for he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? In other words, nobody knows what's going on in the future. Just live life. We have no idea what's coming in the future, and sometimes that can cause great concern. Why? Because our mind, and honestly the devil sometimes, begins to fill in the gap from reality and the future with possibly what could happen. And let's just be honest here, what could happen goes often to the extreme more so than not. And more than not, that could happen does not happen, but we spend a lot of time worrying about the could happens of our life. But why is that? Because we're not omniscient. We don't know everything. Sure, it would be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah, it'd be really nice. It'd be nice if we knew what was coming up next. We could plan a lot better. We could prepare a lot better. We wouldn't worry so much. But I think a lot of it comes from the fact that I don't know how this situation is going to turn out. And I don't know how this scenario is going to turn out. And that's something that can deeply trouble us. I sure am thankful that we know someone who is omniscient, though. Why do we worry this evening? Not only because we care deeply about some things, not only because we're not omniscient, we don't know everything, but also because we're not omnipotent. We can't do everything either. In our life, we try and we work hard. We have a drive to achieve certain things. When there's a problem, we try to find a solution. When there's a medical issue, we try to find a solution. When there's a financial issue, we try to find a solution. We do what we can because we are doers. But you would agree, there comes a point in every one of our lives where we get to the end of what we can do, and there's a gap between what's going to come and what we can do. And it's out of our control. You know why it's so scary? Because most of us don't like to let go of things. We like to be in control, don't we? And it scares us deeply when we're not in control. And so why do we worry this evening? We worry for all those reasons. We worry because we aren't in control. We don't always feel like we have the steering wheel in our hands. But all those things that I just mentioned here are not exclusive to Christians. They're exclusive to the whole world. You see, every worry that you're facing this evening, every worry that I'm facing this evening, whether it's a financial worry, whether it is a health worry, whether it is a social worry, maybe it's a relational worry. God, am I ever going to find somebody to marry? Am I ever going to get married again? Am I ever going to see something take place in my life specific with my family? We all worry about something. Here's the thing. We could go into the world, and we could take every person in the world, and we could group them together in groups, right? They're worried about health. They're worried about money. They're worried about relationships. They're worried about their kids, right? All of those things are something that everybody faces, but it's something that God wants us as believers to face differently. Notice in your Bibles, if you would, here, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Watch this. 32. For after all these things, say this with me, the last four words, do the Gentiles seek. What's Jesus saying here? He's saying, you're worried about the food, right, tomorrow. You're worried about the clothing tomorrow. You're worried about shelter tomorrow. And guess what? You're just like the Gentiles. You're just like everybody else who does not know God. Nothing sets you apart from them. But there is something that's supposed to set us apart, and that's what we do with those worries. Okay, you'd agree. We're all going to face worries in our life at some point, right? You would agree. Tomorrow, you're probably going to face some worries. Today, you face some worries. 10 years from now, we're probably all going to face some worries unless the Lord comes back, right? How are we supposed to handle these? What are we supposed to do? Number one here, we are to respond rightly. Number one, how do we respond rightly? By replacing our worries with trusting in God's will. Move the focus of our priority off of everything else and place it on God. Okay, what's Jesus say here in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33? Maybe you've heard this sung by some people. Here it is. But seek ye first the what? The kingdom of God. What are we doing? We're not seeking, we're not concerned, we're not consuming our mind with what's coming next. What are we first prioritizing? God. Now, what did I say in the beginning of the message? We worry most often with what we are most concerned about, what we care about the most. And here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if you want to fix your worries, if you want to change your worries, change your care. Change your commitment. Change what consumes your heart, consumes your mind. What is your greatest desire? And the reason that we often live our lives worrying day in, day out is because God's perfect will is not our greatest desire. Jesus says, seek ye first the what? The kingdom of God. And then what's going to happen? All these things shall be added unto you. In Matthew chapter 6, 7 through 11, if you want to turn there just a page over for most people, Jesus says this, the model prayer. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. Watch this. I love this. Get this evening. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Question this evening. Is there a concern on your mind tonight that the God of the universe does not know about? No, there's not. Then how does he say we're supposed to pray? Watch this. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then say these last words with me. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, number one, notice there's a God who cares for you, God who cares for me. But number two, give it to God. Make his will your greatest priority. Question, is there anything better than the perfect will of God? No. Is there anything better for our life in the future than God's perfect and divine will? Absolutely not. So what are we supposed to do? Pray, believing, asking that God's will would be done. Now here's what happens in our life sometimes though. This is why we don't pray this way. I fear so often because we don't always trust that God's will is best. Because if we were to pray, God, I want your will to be done, sometimes we're scared about what that could look like. Sometimes we're worried about, we can become concerned with, man, if I just let it all go, then what would the situation, I can't stop worrying. So what's the alternative? Let it go and say, God, I put it in your hands. God, I leave it with you. Or we can spend our time and our energy and our effort, and we can continue to worry about it. And our worry will take us away from the beauty and from the impact in the present. And here's what happens. You know what we do through worrying? Absolutely nothing. What's Jesus say? He says, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? What's he saying there? He says, you can worry about this all day long. You can worry about how short you are or not how short you are, and you can worry about what you look like or what you don't like, but you understand, I can sit here and think all day long, I want to be taller, and am I going to be any taller? Absolutely not. And the truth is this, so many of us, myself included, we go every single day, hours throughout the day, thinking about what could happen, thinking about the worst possible solution, thinking about all that could go wrong, worried. And there's not one thing our worrying changes. If it's going to rain when we get to the beach, it's going to rain when you get to the beach, Daniel. Nothing you can change about that. And so what's the alternative? Here's the alternative. We take our worries and we take them to our God and we say, God, my life's in your hands and I want your will above everything else. And then here's what we say. We say, God, I trust that your will is best. God, I'm releasing control. We try to take control. That's what we do when we worry. You know what we're saying? God, I release control. I give it to you. Change the priority of my heart. And when we change the priority of our heart, you know what happens? The way we worry, the way we think, the way we care begins to change. Why? Because all these things shall be added unto you. God's a heavenly Father who knows our every concern. God's a heavenly Father who knows our every need. And the last time I checked, he's never let someone down. And the last time I checked, he's never broken his promise. And the last time I checked, he's still been true from the beginning till the end. Oh, Abraham had worries. David had worries. Joseph had worries. John the Baptist had worries. The disciples, Peter, they all had worries. But you know what they found to be true? The same thing we find to be true this evening. He's a God that will never fail us. He's a friend that sticketh closer to the brother. And he's not only not going to let us worry, but he's also worthy of our complete trust. Amen. We can trust Jesus. Corrie ten Boom says this, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. When we consider this idea of concern and worry, we must consider our Lord Jesus Christ. You know the passage I'm about to quote. Luke 22:42, Jesus said this, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Question, was Jesus concerned about what was about to come up? Yeah. Was he beginning to get a little anxious about what was coming up? Yeah. Why? Because Jesus was omniscient. He did know everything that was happening. He knew the pain that he was about to experience. He knew that all that he was about to suffer. He knew that he was about to be separated from his heavenly Father for a few hours on that cross. Do you think that he was concerned about that? Yes. He was so concerned that he even prayed, Father, let this cup pass from me. And it's okay to pray, God, let this pass. God, work specifically. We ought to pray specifically, but at the end of every prayer, how do we end it? The same way that Jesus said it. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, we want to be Christ. We must release our worries into God's hands, knowing that God's will is always perfect. It may still hurt, and it may still be hard, but oh, it's always, always perfect. We are to replace our priorities, make it God's will. But then secondly here, if you're taking notes this evening, replace our worries with worship. Replace our worries with worship. Some people have a propensity towards worry more than others. You agree there? We all do. But some people have more of a propensity towards that than others. But here's what you understand. With every propensity to worry, with every slide to worry, when our thoughts begin to go in that way, you know what's an opportunity for us to do? It's an opportunity for us to worship God. Replace your worry with worship. God, I'm starting to get concerned about the money here. Hold up here. Pause. Take a break. Hold up, Satan. I'm not letting you have this place. God, I believe you're a faithful God. God, I believe you're a true God. God, I trust you. God, you took care of me back then. You're going to take care of me now. What are we doing? We're reflecting on the character of God. Do you think that glorifies God? Yeah. Do you think that worships God? Yeah. Do you think that makes the devil mad? Yeah, it does. But it's not like the world's doing, is it? And you know how the world's going to see the fruit of a true believer? It's going to be seen through us going through our concerns, our worries, and taking them rightly, worshiping our God with them. What do? We turn our doubt to trust. We go from fear to faith. We go from anxiety to adoration. We go from doubt, here's the word, to dependence. Every care, take it to the Lord in prayer. Give it to God, right? Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Every need to him we can bring. And as we do that, God gets the glory in our life. And it's a beautiful thing. Here's the reality. Sometimes God will allow burdens, heaviness, pressure in our life. And you know why God allowed it? Because he wanted it to drive us to him. But you know what we often try to do? We try to carry it. We try to bear it ourselves. And in doing that, we miss the blessing of knowing our God on a deeper level. Oh, take it to God. Give him praise that he's still God in the moment, in the valleys and the mountains, and he can take care of every situation. And God will be worshipped through our worry. Hey, what the devil meant for evil, God can use for good as we take our worship to him. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but watch this, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what happens? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This evening, I love the church. I love that we can come to church. I love that we can get on an altar. I love that we can get around other believers and say, hey, these are my concerns, and what do we do with them? We take them to God in worship and in prayer. What do we do with our worries this evening? Number one, we allow our priorities to be changed by God. Number two, we bring them to God in worship. We replace our worries with worship. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Thirdly, how do we handle our worry as believers? We replace our worries with God's word. So often, my worries, your worries, are rooted in a lie. And the lie the devil feeds us is this, that God is not a good God, and God is not a trustworthy God. And so if we're to fight that, we must use the sword of the Spirit. We must allow the shield of faith to protect us. We must replace the thoughts of negativity, of doubt, with words of truth and faith and confidence. How do we do that? We focus on that which is good. Like we said in the beginning, we can say stop worrying, but we have to replace it with something, all right? We do. Philippians 4:7-8, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then watch what God says after this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there any be praise, think on these things. Right? When the anxiety, when the doubt, when the discouragement, when the worries start to come, what do? We don't focus on, this is where this situation could go. This is all I can do. This is what I'm burdened about, what do? We take it to God, and we trust that God's a good God. But we replace our mind. We allow our mind to be filled with truth of God's word. And as we fill our mind with truth of God's word, you know what happens? Here it is. Our faith is built. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Fill our minds with God's word, you know what's going to happen? Our faith is going to grow stronger. 1 Samuel 30, verse number 6, the Bible speaks about David and how the men of Ziklag had killed many of his individuals and had taken away the wives and the sons. And David was greatly distressed. And the Bible says this, David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know what you're doing when you go to God's word with your worries? You're encouraging yourself in God. You're looking at who God is, and you're not allowing yourself to stay in a place of sadness, to stay in a place of discouragement. Why? Because fear paralyzes. But you are allowing yourself to be filled with the truth of God's word so that you can be encouraged and go forward for the glory of God. And that's where we move to the last point here for the last few moments. How do we deal with worry? We replace it, replace our worries with God's work. You see, oftentimes when we get scared, when we get worried, when we get concerned, and please understand, as I'm speaking this evening, I understand that there are some worries that many of you have faced that I cannot relate to. There are some life experiences that I'm speaking of this evening that I necessarily cannot relate to yours, and you can't relate to mine. We all have different ones. But I do know this. When we get to a place of worry, oftentimes what we want to do is we just want to sit still and allow the thoughts to continue to turn our mind, right? And as that happens, what happens? Our mind goes deeper and deeper and deeper into those worries. And we just sit still. We feel paralyzed in those moments. And sometimes one of the greatest things that you and I can do when we begin to feel worried is first, of course, to make sure our priorities are right. God, I want your will. Then it's to take our worry and turn to worship. God, I'm not going to let this sit here. I'm going to praise you in it. I know you're a good God. I trust you. I don't see it, but I know you're going to make a way. Then we replace it with God's word. We fill our mind with truth. And then you know what we need to do? We need to get busy with God's work. We need to get up off the couch and take a step forward and serve somebody else. Love somebody else. Why? Because when you seek to love somebody else, when you seek to serve God, what are you doing? You're taking the focus off of yourself, which worry is often rooted in. And what are you doing? You're putting on others. It's not only a distraction, but it's a redirection of our energy. Oh, the devil will keep some of us worried our whole life and keep us from impacting people and making a difference in the world the way he wants us to. Oh, but if we'll begin to focus on other people, hey, how can I serve you? How can I love you? How can I show Jesus to those who are around me? You know what happens? All of the time, oftentimes, our worries begin to fade into the back of our mind. They'll still be there tomorrow. The problems are still going to be there. But what's going to happen? They're not going to be as strong. You'll move forward in faith, and you'll go forward for God's glory, having allowed God to use you in a difficult time. Nehemiah, you remember the story of Nehemiah? Nehemiah had such an easy time building that wall, didn't he? No. Nehemiah had some problems building that wall. He had a lot of opposition. At one point, all the other workers, they were becoming worried. They're talking about killing us here. They're threatening us here. And Nehemiah, at some point, became burdened with all these worries. You know what Nehemiah said? Nehemiah said this in chapter 6, verse number 3. He says, "Their hands shall not be weakened from the work, that it not be done. Now, therefore, O God," here's what he prayed, "God, strengthen my hands." You know what Nehemiah said? Nehemiah said, "God's called me to be somebody. God's called me to do something. And God, we're worried, we're concerned, but I'm asking you to strengthen my hands so that I can go forward and start building again." God's called each of one of us to do something, to be somebody. God's called some of you to be a grandparent, a godly grandparent, a parent, a coworker, a teacher, a witness in the corporate world. And although our worries may still be there, you know what we need to pray? God, strengthen my hands so I can get back to the work and glorify you in it. At the end of this chapter, you know what we see? The Bible says the wall was completed. Nehemiah went through even though he had worries. He didn't let it stop him. He didn't let it hinder him. Oh, as soon as worries come, don't stop going to church. Don't stop serving the Lord. You know what you need to do? Get to the church. Worship God. Get to the church. Serve the Lord. Get to the place that God's called us to be, to bear one another's burdens. And as we do that, God's going to get glory, and the devil's not going to win in our worries. This evening, we've looked at several aspects of worrying. I'm going to refer back to verse number 33 as we close out our time together. Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." As we close out this evening, I want to ask you one question. Do you trust God? Could I encourage you? Take your worries to him. One person put it this way: worrying is not believing God will get it right, and bitterness is believing God got it wrong. Let's trust God and take our worries to him.
Thank you for listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. For more information about our ministry, please visit our website at vbcrr.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.